chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And if you're able to stand, we'll read a few verses of scripture and have prayer. Then you can be seated. Matthew chapter 27. Give you just a moment to find your place there. And Matthew chapter 27. Notice with us in verse number 47. The Bible says, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. Verse number 48. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Father, I pray tonight that you'll bless us. I ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom and the words you'd have us to speak. And Lord, I ask tonight that you'd hide us behind the shadows of the cross, and may you be glorified in everything that'll be said. I pray the Holy Spirit would work in all of our hearts and lives, and Lord, help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And God, I pray that you'd bless our revival meeting, bless the preacher, Lord, bless your people this week, and may thy will be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray, amen, amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice in these verses of Scripture tonight as we look at one verse in particular, but I want you to notice in verse number 47, I want you to notice those who are standing. The Bible said some of them that stood there. So there is some that is standing at the cross. They are standing there. They're not. Some of them are not saved. Some of them do know the Lord. But there's a crowd that is just standing there around the cross. And then there is those who are seeing. Verse number 49 said, the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. There's a crowd on one side that is just standing there, and then there's another crowd that is just watching. They're just staring at the cross. They're just looking on, and it's amazing. Even after 3 hours of darkness and all the suffering, 6 hours of suffering that Jesus went through on the cross, this crowd that is just seeing, this crowd that is just standing, has not been affected any by Calvary whatsoever. They're still wanting Jesus to suffer. And they're enjoying watching the suffering of our Savior as he hangs there between heaven and hell. So there's a crowd that is standing in verse 47. There's a crowd that is staring at the cross in verse number 49. And then there is the one that is suffering on the cross in verse number 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And I want to say that when Christ cried aloud, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus did not die in defeat. But thank God he died in victory. Amen. Just like the choir sang tonight, victory was won at Calvary. And victory was won at Calvary because Christ lived and he died in victory. Amen. He died with the word of God on his mind. Psalms chapter 31. He died with a prayer on his lips. And then he died in the Father's hands. As he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he dismissed his spirit and he yielded up the ghost. So there is the one that is suffering on the cross. There is the ones that are staring at the cross. There is the ones that are standing around the cross. But when you come to verse number 48, our text tonight, I want you to notice this one here that is serving at the cross. The Bible says, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And I want you to think about this one tonight in verse number 48 that is serving at the cross of Jesus. I want to preach on that subject tonight, on serving Jesus at the cross. Serving Jesus at the cross. You see, that's what this man is doing. And it's interesting verse when you think about it, because this man is a sinner. Amen. I mean, this man is not a follower of Jesus. This man does not know God. He is not worthy to do anything for the Son of God. In fact, this man is responsible as for Jesus even being on the cross. Amen. This man is a sinner. You know, you and I are sinners tonight. Romans 5 and verse number 12 said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into this world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all sinned. The Bible said in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. David said in Psalms 52, he said at 51, he said, in sin, he said, I was born in iniquity, shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You don't have any problem tonight believing that you're a sinner, and I don't have any problem believing I'm a sinner, and this man in this text tonight is a sinner. But secondly, he is
is a soldier, amen. He is one of the men that helped Jesus to Calvary. He is one of the men that was responsible for the cross, for helping nail Jesus to the cross. This man put Christ on the cross. And can I tell you, we're just as guilty tonight as sinners. It was my sin and it was your sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. He came to do the will of God. He came because he loved sinners. But at Calvary, my friend, Jesus was never a sinner, but he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He bore my sins and he bore your sins at Calvary. And as Christ hung on the cross, he not only died for me and you, but he died as me and you. He became who we were, thank God, so that we one day could become who he is, amen. And this man is a sinner, amen. He is a soldier. But in our text tonight, amazingly, he is a servant. For just a few moments in this text, this man serves Jesus at the cross. Now, it's amazing to me in this fact that God would even let this man do anything for Jesus at the cross. You say, well, preacher, he wasn't worthy. He put Jesus on the cross and he didn't love Jesus and he didn't live for Jesus. And what right does he have to do anything for Jesus at the cross? Well, he has the same right you and I have, amen, because we're not worthy to serve Jesus tonight. And it was us that put Christ on the cross. We're just as responsible as this man. It's amazing that God didn't kill him for touching the cross in such a holy hour. After 3 hours of darkness, you see in those first 3 hours, Christ was in the hands of man. But in those last 3 hours, those 3 hours of darkness that has just ended here, Christ was in the hands of a thrice holy God. And for this man to touch the cross, it's amazing that God did not even kill him in and of itself, but yet God permitted him to serve Jesus at the cross. You know, it's amazing God would let any of us serve him tonight. Isn't it a miracle of all miracles that not that he'd just pull us out of the burning, not that he'd just save us from hell, but that he would give us a place in the kingdom of God that we can serve him and live for him. Amen. Now think about this man serving Jesus at the cross. And what it proves tonight is that the cross turns no one away that comes beneath its shadow. Here is a man that is a soldier, a sinner, but for just a moment he does an act of kindness and becomes a servant. You know, everything that we do for Jesus Christ ought to be out of love and it ought to be out of kindness. We should not serve because we have to. We should not serve because we have obligation tonight, but we must serve Christ because we love him. Amen. And in this text, I want you to notice some things about this soldier who served Jesus at the cross. And I'm not saying that this soldier is saved tonight. I'm not saying that this soldier followed Jesus after Calvary. I have no idea what happened to him when he walked away from the cross. But I do know this much according to this verse. He is standing there and he is seeing the Christ of Calvary. He has seen many men crucified and been responsible for putting many on the cross. But there was something about Calvary that got a hold of him, and it proves this point that no one can get near the cross and not be affected by it. Amen. I'm telling you, if we can get people under the sound of the gospel, if we can get them to the foot of the cross, they may walk away, they may scoff and they may mock like some of this crowd, but they will ever forever be changed, and they will never forget the cross. It is a shadow that will linger and live in their minds throughout all of eternity. Amen. Now think about this man tonight. Notice four things and I'll be through. Number one, I want you to see his help in verse 48. The Bible says, and straightway one of them ran. Here's a man that is making haste to get to the cross. He has put Jesus on the cross, but now he is running to help Christ as he is on the cross here. Now I want you to think about that. It took courage for this man to do this simple act of kindness here. I mean, it was just a simple act and it was a very small act. He probably knew though that someone would object to him doing what he did for Jesus. And the answer is in verse 49. There was a crowd that said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save believe him. And so there was a crowd that objected to this man serving Jesus at the cross, but nevertheless it took courage. I'm telling you, to live for God takes courage in this hour. Amen. And to live for God, there'll always be a crowd that will object. Amen. If you linger around the cross and you live for the Christ of Calvary, I'm not talking about religion, but I'm talking about Christianity, there's a crowd that will despise it, just like the crowd that was gathered around this cross on this day. This soldier, for whatever reason, he took courage at that very moment, and he stepped forward and he went to help Jesus. It took commitment. He had to make his mind up in just a split second that he was going to do something to help the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that Christ doesn't need any help, and he certainly didn't need any help at Calvary, but you understand that this man had no idea what Calvary was about. Amen. This man had no idea who Jesus was about. He somehow moved by Calvary that he feels like he needs to do something. Amen. I'm telling you, Calvary will move you to want to do something for God. Amen. And this man, it took courage and it took commitment, and I think it took some form of compassion. Amen. And we'll see that here in just a little while, because there was earlier in this chapter here, you can go back and read it, and we probably will here in just a moment, in Matthew 27:33, I think it is, they gave him wine or vinegar mingled with gall, amen, and that was to numb them. But here it is vinegar that he is giving here that is mixed with wine, and this vinegar here is just a watered down, diluted thing to quench a thirst. And so we find this man, he doesn't have to do what he's doing, but he's wanting to help Jesus. Now, again, Jesus don't need any help. Amen. He's in the helping business. But you got to understand, once again, this man is willing to do for just a moment something to help Christ in his most critical hour on the cross. In fact, he is the only person that offered any help to Jesus while he was on the cross. You know, tonight, as we think about serving God, service for Jesus should never be a burden. It should be a blessing. I realize that physically sometimes we wear out. I understand we don't feel good sometimes. Things like that happen. Different things happen in life. But when it comes to serving God, it should always be a joy to serve the Lord. A good way to know if you're backslid is if it's a drudgery to go to the house of God. Now, if you've never enjoyed church, I'd really be doing some checking up. Amen. But I worry about people that's always looking for a way out of church. Amen. I'm telling you, church is the best thing that ever happened to any of us. Amen. Sir, and this ain't even service. This is worship. Amen. We come to worship, but we leave to serve. And when we go out there and do something for God, it doesn't matter who sees it, because he sees it. Amen. This man is not doing something to be seen. But this man, even though he doesn't know God, he feels some need to help the cause of Calvary. I wonder tonight, do you feel the need to help the cause of Calvary tonight? I'm not talking about helping the Savior and the fact that he needs help. But when I think about the cross and I think about the opportunity God has given us in this hour to serve the Lord, it is a wicked hour. It is an ungodly hour. But it's a great hour to be serving Jesus. You know, if I could only pick two or three places in the Bible to be present, number one, I'd have liked to have been present at the birth of Christ. I'd like to have been present at the cross of Christ or the resurrection of Christ, even though those were dangerous times as well. But if I had to choose another place in the Scriptures to be alive, I'd want to be alive when the rapture took place. In fact, if I had to weigh it all out, it'd be better in the end than it would be in the beginning. They didn't understand Bethlehem's manger to its full. They didn't understand the cross. They didn't understand everything about the resurrection. We look back and we see it all. It's clear to us, isn't it, tonight? Now, I'm telling you, if the rapture was to take place right now, we understand the rapture. We know what's happening. Amen. This world is not coming to an end. This world is coming to Jesus Christ. The King is coming, thank God. And the church is about to go out. And so it's an exciting hour to be busy. It's an exciting hour to be serving the Lord. Lord, amen. I noticed his help, and secondly, I see his hands in verse 48. The Bible says, and straightway one of them ran. Notice this, he does three things. He takes a sponge, he fills it with vinegar, and he puts it on a reed. Those are three things that this servant here does
for Jesus with his hands. He takes a sponge. His intention is to respond to the Savior. He fills it, the Bible says, here with vinegar. His intention is to relieve Jesus' thirst, to help quench that thirst. That was what soldiers and laborers would do. They would take that vinegar and it was mingled with that diluted wine or the fruit of the vine, and they would take that and they would drink and it would quench their thirst. And so he is doing something here with the intention to relieve the Savior's thirst. Jesus cried on the cross and he said, "I thirst." And then he put it on a reed. Amen. That was it, with the intention to reach the Savior, to give it to him. Here's a man that is going the extra mile in this text here to do something for someone in his mind that's not going to be here very much longer. He knows that he's going to die. Matthew 27 and verse 33, if you go back a few verses, it said, when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull. Look at verse number 34. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Now, why did Jesus allow them to give him this drink? In verse number 34, if he knew what it was, then why would he refuse it? Number one, to fulfill Scripture. Psalms 69 and verse 21 says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. So Matthew 27 and verse 34 is the first part of Psalm 69 and verse 21. They gave me gall for my meat. What was that? To sedate him. They would oftentimes, when they would bring him to the cross, just before they would nail them to the cross and put them on the cross, they would give them vinegar mingled with gall so that it was some form of a narcotic. It was like that would help them to relax so that they wouldn't be a struggle as they was putting on the cross, but putting them on the cross. But when Jesus went to Calvary, he didn't need any of that, amen, because there was no struggle. He was a lamb before his shears is dumb. He went as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shears is dumb. He opened not his mouth, the Bible said, and he even said himself that he laid down his life. There was no struggle at Calvary. He needed nothing because that was why he came. The first part of Psalm 69 and verse 21 is found in verse 33 and 34. The latter part is found in our text in verse number 48, where the Bible says that in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So Christ, why did he receive that vinegar? He received it because it would be to fulfill Scripture. And secondly, he received it because it was the Father's will. As he cried, "I thirst." Jesus, in his hour of need here is a soldier doing something. You might look and you might say, "Well, preacher, he doesn't know God. Why would he do that?" I don't know why he did it, other than Calvary moved him. You got to think about it. This man saw a lot of men die, didn't he? He doesn't offer anything to these other thieves, but he offers something to the Savior. I think there was something about the countenance of Jesus. Even though his visage was marred beyond any recognition, as he looked upon the Son of God from the streets of Jerusalem to Calvary's brow, and as he hung on the cross for those 6 hours, he watched this man. He heard those sayings of the cross, and he watched him as he rescued one more sinner before he left this world. He heard the conversation of another criminal that deserved to die, but yet Jesus showed him mercy when seemingly Christ needed mercy and there was no mercy. Somehow it must have had an effect on this man. I'd say that Calvary should always have an effect on us. Calvary should always want to make us do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary should want to make us serve him. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to be backslid this year. I want to live for God and have revival." I'll tell you one way to do that. Stay as close to the cross as you can. Linger around Calvary. See the Christ of Calvary every day. Think about the price that Jesus paid, the sacrifice that he gave, the obedience of the cross, how that Jesus was willing to humble himself. All of those are attributes and characteristics that we need in serving God. Isn't that right? I need to be obedient. I need humility. I need to sacrifice. We need it tonight. And it's at Calvary. We find everything we need, not just for salvation, but for service. Now think about in this text here. Several times Mark mentions it in Mark 15 and verse 23, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Talking about Matthew 27 and verse number 34. Why would Jesus not receive it? Because Proverbs 31:6 says this, Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Jesus would not receive that vinegar mingled with gall because he would not sedate himself, because he was willing to suffer every single bit of the cross. Amen. He was willing to take every bit of the pain, every bit of the agony. He was willing to take every bit of the suffering. You know, in this life, we don't like suffering. I'll be honest with you, I don't like suffering. I don't like agony. I don't look forward to pain in this life. But we all experience in this life, don't we? Somewhere along the way, we experience pain and agony, and we experience suffering, but we never experience to the depth that what Christ experienced it too. That's why the Bible says he can in all points be it was tempted as we are, yet he was without sin, and it's because of that he can be touched. I'm glad I have a Savior tonight that can be touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. He don't look upon us and say, well, I sympathize with you, but I've never been there. Oh no, he feels what we feel. He's been where we've been. He's been deeper than what we've been. He's felt more than what we felt. I'm telling you, when you feel a pain and you see somebody else go through it, it's almost like you relive that pain all over again because it's real to you. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, Christ, he's experienced the depths of pain and the depths of agony and suffering that you and I have never experienced. So therefore, every agony, every suffering, every pain, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental, or whether it be physical, Christ knows all about it, and thank God he's experienced it. Amen. 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 You'll never tell him anything that what he not only hears it, thank God he feels it. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around tonight. If you feel sorrow, Christ can feel your sorrow. If you feel loneliness tonight, if you'll cry out to him, he can feel your loneliness. If you feel heartbreak, Christ can feel your heartbreak. That's why sometimes you don't have to say anything but just tears. Christ feels the very tears that fall from our face. He has been there. He has walked through that. He walks through it again and again. I don't know about you, but it makes me just want to say hallelujah. Makes me want to say glory to God. Makes me want to say thank you, Lord. He experienced the darkness of the greatest trial that could ever be known. Was the trial of Calvary. And Jesus walked through that darkness. But in his hours of darkness, you know what he was doing? He was praying to the Father, and he was sacrificing and serving you and I. In return, he wants us to serve him tonight. You know, you'll never serve Jesus until you've served him at the cross. Until you have surrendered all to him and said, Lord, in serving him doesn't mean that we're perfect and that we have done everything we're supposed to do. I think every servant here tonight would say, I have failed God more times than we can tell. But you know what a servant does? He gets back up and keeps going. Isn't that what a soldier does? A soldier may not win every part of that battle. In fact, he might get wounded. He might get knocked down. You know what a soldier does? If he can at all possible, he gets back up and he presses on. I'm telling you tonight, God is not keeping a record of how many times we get knocked down, but he is keeping a record of how many times we get back up. You know what revival time is? It's a good time to get back up. It's a good time to serve Jesus. And if you're going to serve him, it involves your hands. This man was active. He wasn't just standing there looking on the cross with pity, but he was doing something. You say, well, that's not much. And it may not have been, but he was doing more than anybody else in this text. Amen. You know, when you serve God, the Lord will say, well, or the devil sometimes will say to you, well, you're not doing much. Well, you know what? It may not seem like much to you, and it may not seem like much to others, but I wonder what the Savior thought when he looked down at this soldier who he was suffering and dying for. I wonder what he thought about this man in this hour when he did what little bit he could and somehow to show some act of kindness toward Jesus. I'm sure it must have meant something to Jesus. And I want to say tonight that our service, every time we put our hands to work for God, it means something to the Lord. We don't serve to be seen. We don't serve to get pats on the back. We don't serve for benefits and to be noticed, but we serve because we love him tonight. You'll never be disappointed if you serve Him because you love Him. It involves our hands. We must be busy, as Christ said, about our Father's business. I think tonight probably one of the greatest sins going on in our churches in America, and I say America tonight, is the sin of apathy and complacency. And if I'm not careful in this life of prosperity and comfort, and that's what it is, isn't it? We have it easier than any generation that's ever lived in America. And we have it better than anybody around this world tonight. We come to a climate-controlled building and we sit on padded pews, and there's no reason to feel bad about that tonight. That's the blessings of God. We drive air-conditioned and heated vehicles that are very nice. And we pull in on a paved parking lot. Every one of us tonight has a good pair of shoes on our feet. It doesn't matter what they look like on the outside. You can feel them shoes on your feet right now. God's been good to us. We'll go home here in just a little while. And we'll walk through the doors of our house. A sealed house that is also climate controlled. With more rooms than we care to clean up. Say amen, women. And we can go to the kitchen and the refrigerator. What about that? And open that refrigerator and there's cold things there. We got a stove and we got an oven that we can heat things in. And for women that don't know how to cook, we have a microwave and air fryers, thank God. Isn't that right? None of y'all just thought I'd throw that in there. We got cabinets. It's got things in them. For the most part, not things we need, but things we want. Isn't that right? And we walk through that house. And when we get tired, we lay down on a bed, a mattress with covers and a pillow for our head. We are so blessed in this country. We have clean water for the most part. We have electricity. But yet, shocking to American society, revival's taking place around this world in places. But it's not happening in this country. It's happening in jungles. It's happening in villages. It's happening in grass huts and pole barn type church buildings. It's happening in places where people walk for miles in the rain and sit down in a field to hear a preacher preach and they don't have a Bible. That's where revival's happening most of the places. And people are happy. And they're happy serving Jesus. And they have little or they have nothing. And in America, our biggest problem in America today, and I'm not shaming you, I'm just telling you what the problem across this country is. Our problem across this country is that people are not even so dedicated to be faithful to God's house like they used to be. They have 1,000 reasons and excuses and so many things to take care of in this life. Serving Jesus is just not a top priority. I want to ask you a question tonight. When your life comes to an end, what will have become of your life for Christ? Will you have spent your life living for the Lord? Or will you have spent your life trying to gain all that you can get? And don't misunderstand me tonight. I don't think there's nothing wrong with having a nice car or living in a nice home. But I think there's something wrong when those things are so important that they become hindrances and distractions in our life. We shouldn't feel bad about having a closet full of clothes tonight. But what it ought to be is that there should never be a day that we don't thank God for how good He's been to us. I'm telling you, if anybody ought to be singing in a congregation, it ought to be people that have much, not people that have little.
If anybody ought to be on fire for getting the gospel out and training their children and living for God, it shouldn't be those that have nothing, but it ought to be those that have been so blessed by the hand of God. I'm talking about week after week and month after month and year after year. He just keeps on never ceasing to give what we need and never ceasing to provide all of our needs and many of our wants. And God, help me tonight. And God, help us all tonight than if we live our life for anything other than serving the Lord. You know, there are days, I'll be honest with you, we all feel the same, don't we? There are days that, can I be honest with you, I don't want to do some of the things that's required of me to do, and you feel the same way. There's some mornings you don't want to get up and go do whatever the responsibilities are. I want to say tonight, God needs hands. You know what every church needs tonight? Hands. People that'll work. We don't need the kind of hands that has to do something and make sure everybody knows about it. If you can't do something without telling everybody, then just note this. Everything you just did went to ashes at the judgment seat. It'll do us all good to just serve and say little about what we do and just serve. And I see this soldier, he's a lost man, but I see his help, I see his hands, and I see his heart. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible said he gave him to drink. I don't even understand what was going through this man's mind. I know he didn't have to do it. I know this here was what the soldiers and the laborers drank. It was not to prolong the suffering, even though quenching the thirst would have eventually have done that to a man. But his heart was willing. Nobody asked him to. He was just a willing vessel to do something. He is not encouraged to do service for Jesus, but we are. This man was not enlisted. Nobody threw him into this position. But we're enlisted. He's not expected. He could have let Jesus have just died on the cross without this ever taking place here. He could have just said, it's not my problem and it's not my place. And so he could have just stood at Calvary and watched him die like everybody else. He's not expected to do this. But he was willing. You know, I think that's what God's looking for tonight. People just to be willing. You know, you don't have to have great ability or a talent tonight, but if you'll be willing to do something for God. I don't know what that something is. But I'll tell you, if you'll get on your knees, and that's how you do it. You get on your knees and you say, Lord, I'm willing to do something for you. Paul said on the road to Damascus, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then let God fill in the blanks. Say, Lord, what can I do for you? It may not be anything big and great. It may not be anything that requires a title or a position or anything like that. But I'll tell you, if he tells you to do it, it'll be something great. And this man was willing to do a small act of kindness. Would you be willing to do a small act of kindness tonight or this week? He was the only one who attempted. Then I see his heart. It must have been wondering. He doesn't understand Calvary. He doesn't understand what Jesus is doing. In fact, they don't even understand what Christ is saying in verse number 46 when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They think he's calling on Elias. They don't understand the language. There was three languages at the cross, and they don't understand all of that at Calvary. And this man, in spite of what he does not understand and what he does not know, he still serves the Lord. You know, God doesn't always give us an explanation. And sometimes things happen in life that we don't always understand what's going on. We don't always see what's happening around us. This man can't put all these pieces together, and we can't put all the pieces of life and the events and the circumstances of life together. Sometimes we wonder, well, why did this happen? And why did this not happen? Sometimes I don't know, and we don't have the answers, but it should never hinder us from serving Jesus. It's because, you know, people have quit serving the Lord sometimes because of something that happened in life and they never got the answer they were looking for. And so they just quit. I'll tell you tonight, there will be a lot of things in life we don't understand, but we must keep serving till the end. Isn't that right? Young people, tonight, make your mind up. You're going to serve Jesus till the end.
Serve him to your dying day. I see his hand. I see his heart here. His heart was wakening. Perhaps this man at this moment was more tender than he ever would be in all of his life. Perhaps, I don't know what happened to this man. Perhaps he went home. Perhaps there was an opening there. Perhaps he became a follower of Jesus. Maybe he walked away and never thought about it again and went right back to his normal life. I don't know, but I know at this very moment there's hope for this individual. He's trying to help Jesus, but in return, there's really help for him. And isn't that the way serving God is? We serve him, but in return it helps us to serve God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you want to be blessed, just serve the Lord. If you want God's to pour out his blessing on your life, serve him. The happiest people you ever meet are people that are serving him. You know, in a congregation, people that are backslid, they're not happy, they're miserable. I don't even know how backslid people, and listen, I've been there before, we've all backslid. But I'm telling you, when you, people that just live their life backslid, I don't know how they go to church, Brother Laddie. I reckon I'd want to stay home too. I reckon I'd want to stay home and watch football if I was backslid. Why go to church? And that's it. You got to be miserable week in and week out. Maybe you, why would you want to go? You're not getting nothing out of singing. You're not getting anything out of preaching. So Brother Gravely, I'm backslid. We'll get right tonight. You know, it's that easy. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be backslid no more. Would you forgive me? Boom, there it is. You believe that tonight? I'll give you a verse of scripture, 1 John 1:9. You believe that verse tonight? If we confess our sins, that's the only thing you can do anyway about it. You can't go back and fix it, but you can confess it. I can't fix it. No, but you can confess it. Get on an altar. I'll tell you, that'd bring revival. We don't have to wait till tomorrow night. We don't have to have three nights to have revival. I'm telling you, revival can happen at the very moment you and I bow our heads and say, Lord, please, just, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want to serve you and I live for you. I want to live for you. And I mean it with all my heart. I'm telling you, that very moment, business picks up in heaven. Amen. It's just that simple to get right with God. And here's a man that for just a moment, his heart, ask his question tonight, is your heart in serving God? When someone's heart is not in serving God, unless the Lord changes their heart, there's not anything anybody can do to make them want to serve him. Then I find in closing his hindrances. The Bible said in verse number 49, the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. He was hindered by the crowd. He was hindered at the cross. He was hindered from helping Christ. This man doesn't understand, but those around the cross, they were only interested in a show. They wanted to see Elias come. They wanted to see the supernatural happen. They didn't care about the Savior. I don't know much about this soldier, but I know for just a moment he cared about Jesus. For just a moment he cared about the Lord. How much longer that lasted, I do not know. But in that very moment, Calvary touched his heart. I'm telling you tonight, if Calvary has touched your heart, it doesn't have to be for just a moment. But thank God you can care the rest of your life. You can live for Jesus the rest of your life. I'm telling you, real revival is when you say, Lord, I want to serve you. Amen. And like the songwriter said, the longer I serve him, thank God, the sweeter he grows. Amen. In the best life you've ever known, a life serving Jesus tonight. Live for him. If you come to the end of the way and you don't have a lot of things in life, but you spent your life serving God, and you've spent a life worth living. Life does not consist in the abundance of things. I know in America tonight we have to have money to survive. But I want to tell you something. The Bible said money answereth all things. I've been thinking on that verse. You know what that means tonight? It really reveals who we are. For Judas, it answered 30 pieces of silver. Answered who Judas was. It answered all things. For others, for Elijah, when Nahum was healed, he didn't want anything. He didn't want no gold. Didn't want no silver. It answers all things tonight. And while it takes money to live, we have to face the truth tonight. Who are we living for? What are we living for? Serving Jesus at the cross. Don't you want to serve him with all your heart tonight? Young people, is it in your heart to serve him? I'll tell you where to start tonight. You start at the cross. Go back to where he saved you. And kneel back down there and say, Lord, I want to serve you. Let keep Calvary fresh every day of your life. You want to serve him? Get up every morning and say, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for giving your life for me. Lord, today I want to give my life for you. For Christ don't ask us to die for him. He's asked us to live for him. He died for us that we might live for him. As we stand tonight, that's revival. Serving Jesus at the cross. Do you need to come and pray? You obey God while we sing this song.